This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Have you ever prayed witr behind the imam at the masjid? And when the imam begins the kunut, you just say ameen during the pauses. You don't really understand the dua that he's making. Or maybe you yourself are making dua. You've memorized the dua and you don't really know what it means. You're just saying the dua. Well, we want that to change. We want this Ramadan to be a Ramadan where you really feel the dua. When you say ameen, you mean, oh Allah, answer this prayer. So inshallah, what we're going to cover today is the famous dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his grandson, Al-Hasan, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, to say. And that dua is, Allahumma hadini fi man hadait, wa afini fi man afait, wa tawallani fi man tawallait, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا عَطِيتْ وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتْ إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكْ إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَالَيْتْ. This dua includes five requests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first of those requests is a request for guidance. Allahumma hadini fi man hadait. O Allah, guide me amongst those whom you have guided. Look at this dua, subhanAllah. The dua starts off asking Allah for guidance. Now you're making this dua a kunut, which means that you've already prayed 17 obligatory rak'ats that day, and then some rak'ats for witr or qiyam al-layl. So you've asked Allah already during the day for guidance in Surah Al-Fatiha several times throughout the day. And yet here we are again, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And that's because guidance is essential in every aspect of our lives. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance for everything that we do. And we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance in the next life. That part there, I think most of us understand. But there's a part of this dua that is often skipped over. And that is, fi man hadait. Guide us amongst those whom you have guided. This is very similar to what we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, when we say, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us along the straight path. That straight path, at this particular point in the dua, and when we're asking for guidance, is somewhat abstract and somewhat theoretical, until we say, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have favored. Now, that path becomes something that is not abstract, because we know those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored, from the prophets and from the sincere and truthful and from the martyrs and from the righteous. And so by studying their lives, we now have a blueprint. We have a roadmap to what guidance actually looks like. Similarly, when we say, guide us among those whom you have guided, then we think about those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually guided. And this shows us the importance of having a role model or role models when we talk about guidance. Not just some abstract theoretical path, but actually a path that is well trodden so that we can bi-idhnillah travel that path that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second request is for that of al-afiyah, which we normally translate as well-being. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us well-being physically, mentally, spiritually. Now, a lot of times when we make this dua, or when we think about well-being, everybody kind of knows that they want to be well physically and mentally. What may not immediately come to mind is spiritual well-being. And that is something that we should not neglect to think about when we're making dua. You see, when we're making dua, it's not just something that we're saying off of our tongues. We're actually supposed to be thinking about the things that we're saying. We're supposed to be recalling these meanings. So when we're asking for afiyah, we want to be healthy, both our physical and mental health, but we also want to be spiritually healthy, free from the diseases of shubuhat, that is doubts, and free from vain desires, shahawat. The third request is a very interesting request. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be your close ally, to be a close companion. وَتَوَلَّنِي فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتِ. And befriend me amongst those whom you have befriended. What does it mean for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be your wali, to be your protector, or to take you as a wali? And so there is a companionship there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran when he says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the wali of those who have faith. He takes them out of darkness into the light. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your companion or your ally, when he is your wali and he befriends you, then any dark situation that you are in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you into the light. And who are these people? Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Indeed, the awliya of Allah, they will not have any fear, nor will they be sad. And then Allah says who they are, alladhina amanu, those who believe, wa kanu yattaqun, and who had taqwa. What are we striving for in this month of Ramadan? We're striving for taqwa, right? So this dua, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be our wali, we're asking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our faith and make us people of taqwa. The fourth request is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow barakah in everything that he has given us. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتِ. Well, what does that exactly mean, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in it? When Allah Azza wa Jalla puts barakah in something, he stabilizes it and causes it to develop and to grow, nourishes that thing. So you have barakah in your time, for example. An hour for you may be like 3 hours for somebody else, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put barakah in your time. When Allah puts barakah in food, you may only have a little bit, but it suffices so much. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the barakah that's in suhoor, right? By eating the suhoor. Sometimes you only eat a very little bit for suhoor, but it lasts you throughout the day. Any other time of the year, you eat that little bit amount of food and it's not going to suffice you. And so this is what barakah is. But notice here, you're saying, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتَ, and put barakah in everything that you have given me. Well, is there something that you have that wasn't given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Everything that we have, tangible or intangible, was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever blessing you have, whatever ni'mah you have, is from Allah. Your hearing, your sight, your ability to taste, your time, your wealth, your children, all of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah puts barakah in those things, he stabilizes them for you and he causes them to develop. And this is what we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we say, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتَ, bless me in everything that you have given me. Most people can think of something that has happened to them that they initially thought was bad, only to later see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that thing. These are things that we may dislike, but evil is a totally different matter. Evil is how we respond to those afflictions and calamities and things that may happen that we think are bad. So if we respond by losing trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or being dissatisfied and not content with his decree, then this is evil. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given mankind the ability to obey or disobey him. So disobedience, even though it occurs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, is not pleasing to Allah. It is the evil of what he has decreed. So in this prayer, we're seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of disbelief and idolatry and murder and adultery and all other forms of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.